At what point in your life did you say to yourself, you know what, I'm going to start talking about vaccines. There's something wrong here.
Well, it actually started in September of 2000 when I attended the National Vaccine Information Center meeting in Washington, D.C. For some reason, there was just one of those little voices that said I had to go to this meeting, which made no logical sense, but I went. And I walked away from a three-day meeting of listening to doctors and researchers and PhD people from all over the country saying that vaccines were a real problem, and there was a lot of problems with mercury, and there was a connection between the MMR and autism. And I sat through that meeting absolutely fascinated, knowing that I was just a rabid researcher and had looked at things most of my life. I had a very broad education in emergency medicine, and by that point I had been doing integrative medicine for about 5 years. And as a child, I was not vaccinated. I grew up in a chiropractic family, and my dad had been in the Korean War and had gotten really sick from the vaccines he had, and he, becoming a chiropractor, and had decided that I wasn't going to get vaccinated as a kid, and I never had any problems with that, and going up through school, never thought it was a really big deal. And when I walked away from that meeting in September of 2000, I thought, you know, I need to prove this to myself. Is this right or is this wrong? And once I started looking at the CDC documents, I really didn't have to look any farther, because there was so much misinformation, misconstrued information, and things that just were medically incorrect right there in their own documents, that I spent the next, I think I stopped logging at about 6,000 hours of how much research that I've done since September of 2000, and am fully convinced that this is not a good thing for people, that vaccines did not eliminate diseases, that they are not safe, they've never been proved to be effective, and effective by meaning that they prevent disease, it's just like a shell game on a board. And one thing just changes after another.
Now let's clear this up too. You are saying that there are no vaccines out there that help people? Are you saying that?
I'm saying that I don't think that any of them do anybody any good.
So all of us would be better off just simply doing something else.
We'd all be better off just doing really good things to just protect our immune system. I mean, if you think about it, George, any sort of infectious disease that you come in contact with, whether it be a virus or a bacteria, how do you get it? I mean, you don't get it by it being jammed through your skin. You know, and so this whole concept of injecting viruses and bacteria to trick the immune system into developing something that will protect us just makes no logical sense.
Is that a bad theory? It doesn't work?
It's a theory that it causes more problems than it helps. We've got lots of evidence that shows that vaccination contributes to asthma, allergies, eczema, to a litany of autoimmune diseases. And for what useful purpose? So that kids won't get chicken pox?
All right, let's talk a little bit about 1950. That's when George Norrie was born, and they started putting all kinds of things into me.
Gee, that's too bad.
I mean, they did. I mean, I was a kid of the 50s.
I was too.
I was a boomer. So what did they do to me? I mean, I know I've had every shot, because I remember my mother would give me this card that I needed to bring to school from my doctor, and it had everything filled out, so I had everything. And then when I went into the Navy, I think I got a cholera shot and some other things as well. But in the 50s, when I was a kid, what did they give me, Sherry?
Well, as recently as 1985, up until that point in time, there were only a few vaccines that were around. The polio vaccine came out in 1955. That's when it was started. The DPT started in the late 1940s. The flu vaccine was around but wasn't generally given to most people. Most of us in that age group got the smallpox vaccine, because they gave the smallpox vaccine up through about 1972. So those were the things that you were mostly exposed to. Now, it's interesting, mostly because the two cornerstone vaccines that the entire industry is based upon is the eradication of smallpox and the eradication of polio.
Right.
And as it turns out, neither one of those were really truly eradicated by the vaccine. They were both way on their way out before the vaccines ever came into play.
Well, let me ask you about that, because as you just said, they both were eradicated. Exactly how, of course.
That's what we were told.
That's what we were told. Mm-hmm. Are you saying that the vaccines came on the scene when it was going to end anyway,
yes,
these diseases?
Yes, that's really true. The smallpox vaccine was way on its way, the smallpox as a disease was way on its way out. It had been down to only about 50 countries left in the world were still reporting any level of smallpox at all.
These were primarily third world countries too, weren't they?
Third world countries with poor sanitation and close living quarters and people living in grass huts and living very close to each other. And the cornerstone of where I really came to believe that was not only the statistics that went along with that, but I testified at the CDC meeting in June of 2002, and that's when they were talking about ramping up the mandatory smallpox vaccine again. And at that meeting, there was a doctor there, Dr. Tom Mack, by his own admission, said he probably had seen more cases of smallpox during the course of his career than almost anybody except D.A. Henderson. And at that meeting, he said that even without the mass vaccination, smallpox would have died out anyway. It was already on its way out, and it would just have taken a little bit longer. The other thing that you find back, if you remember, and you will see this again, because the whole mandatory smallpox vaccination issue is not going away. It's going to get ramped up again. It raises its ugly head periodically.
Well, especially when we have purchased, how many vials of this vaccine? Wasn't there an Operation BioShield contract that gave millions and millions of dollars for vaccines to be set aside for smallpox?
Yes, that was there. You're kind of combining two little things there, George. One is there was back in 2002, we purchased for a little over $1 billion, 780 million doses of smallpox vaccine. But in 2004, Congress passed Operation BioShield, which was $5.6 billion of absolutely carte blanche, do whatever you want, pharmaceutical industry, to make these vaccines. We're going to give you tax credits, we're going to give you complete liability, and we're going to abscond you from any, you will have no association or any liability for any accidents or for any vaccine injuries. And that was BioShield 1 that was passed last year. And just interestingly enough, just at the beginning of this month, on March the 3rd, they passed BioShield 2, they introduced BioShield 2, which is another piece of legislation that basically gives the pharmaceutical industry a blank check to say, make whatever vaccines you want, we'll keep you from having any liability if anybody gets injured. Well, that's just too bad, because these are what we need for bioterrorism.
Isn't there also non-disclosure built into that one? Bill?
Yep.
So if something goes awry, they don't have to tell us about it.
They don't have to tell us about it. And actually, the other bill that is on the floor right now, Senate Bill 3, is the one that says there are all sorts of places where they aren't even supposed to tell us that there's a possibility of an injury.
Oh, my.